Welcome, folks. My name is Jimmy Bashar with the ISO Stakeholder Affairs Group. It's my pleasure to welcome you to the ISO teleconference to discuss its submitted compliance filing to FERC on Amendment 60 resettlement. At this time, I'd like to announce my colleagues on the phone with me here today, who are Diane Anasani, Heather Kelly, Tree Huynh, Ginger Quintavala, Magna Khatri, Sydney Mannheim, James Lynn, and myself, of course. In addition, all calls are recorded for stakeholder convenience, allowing those who are unable to attend to listen to the recordings after the meetings. The recordings will be publicly available on the ISO webpage for a limited time following the meetings. And of course, the recordings and any related transcriptions should not be reprinted without the ISO's permission. And lastly, of course, if you have any questions, you can enter the queue virtually by pressing #2. We please request for everybody to please state your name and the company that you represent. And without further ado, I'll hand it over to our first presenter, Diana.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm Diana Anasani. I'm a client representative in the customer service department. So we put together a slide deck to facilitate the discussion, and there's a link to it on the calendar meeting invite. So kaiser.com at the very top, there's a calendar link on the top, and you'll find this meeting there. It'll help go through some of this topic. I wanted to give a little background. In June 2014, the ISO invoiced amounts related to Amendment 60 and legacy reruns. To support this effort, we shipped a CD to the affected scheduling coordinators reflecting unprocessed adjustments for trading days before the ISO's new market began in 2009. The ISO had planned to invoice the interest within 30 days, but we had to put this on hold pending a FERC decision. This decision came in August 2019. In early March 2020, so March 5th, I believe, we emailed all the affected SCs the interest that they would be charged or paid by SCID for Amendment 60 minimum load costs and the interest in outstanding principal for reliability capacity services tariff. So we're here to explain how the interest was calculated and answer any of your questions. So I will now pass it over to Magna Khatri, who's going to explain how this was done. Thank you.
Thanks, Dina. This is Magna Khatri. I'm going to go to the slide deck, so, and then pause in the middle to ask questions, and then we can obviously in the end facilitate additional discussion. We plan to, on March 31st, 2020, we plan to post the historical initial settlement statement with the trade date 3/1/2009 that will include the interest related to Amendment 60 and RCST. So the Amendment 60 interest was calculated. We first identified the minimum load commitment cost changes between the trade date, the final settlement statement was posted, and the rerun settlement statement, which was posted on 6/24/2014. Then we calculated the interest, the quarterly interest based during this period based upon this change between the MLC changes, MLC fee and the four quarterly rate, and the link is provided for those rates. And for the period between 6/25/2014 till March 31st, 2020, the interest was calculated based upon the interest on interest as of 6/24/2014. Like I said, we would be posting this on March 31st as a historical initial statement. The trade date will be March 1st, 2009. We would use the historical PTB charge codes 299 and 399. And the comments would provide the comments for these PTBs will provide the additional information such as the monthly MLCC changes that was used, the dollars, by trade month. And I've provided an example there, so that should help you provide additional transparency. Sorry. The next would be, let's take a pause. Is there any question for Amendment 60 interest?
And just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press pound 2 on your telephone keypad. We don't have any questions at this time.
Perfect. So the next one is the RCSC interest calculation. So for RCSC, we took the interest, was calculated as we took the interest paid at the time of RCSC resettlement on 6/24/2014, plus any interest that was accrued in the ISO trust account based upon the prepaid interest. We also did interest that was due on 6/24 for RCSC reimbursement amount, plus the interest on interest was accumulated as of 6/24/2014 to March 31st, 2020. And finally, the interest on the principal RCSC amount that was unpaid from the initial invoices till March 31st, 2020. Similar to Amendment 60, RCSC PTBs will also have distinct comments. Which will identify the monthly RCSC payments that were received by the SC with the invoice date. And I have provided some sample comments on slide 5. Let's take a pause here and see if there's any questions for the RCSC interest.
And just a reminder, if you have a question, please press pound 2 on your telephone keypad. If you have a question, your lines are muted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Van Vactor with Southern California Edison. So I see on the next slide you're going to give a bull determinant file. It's kind of hard to read the XMLs, but are you going to be giving us the interest rate that you were using to calculate the interest amount due along with the principal amount?
So the bill determinant file will only have the PTB. Interest per quarter is not provided in that, but there is a link to the FERC interest rate. Is that the question, or does that help?
Hey, Chris, this is James Lynn. In order to calculate the interest, FERC updated the interest rates every quarter, and so we applied the applicable quarterly interest rate during the calculation for each period. So it changes quarter to quarter. So on slide 2, where it says FERC quarterly rates, that is a hyperlink to FERC's rate page so that you can look at each quarter the rates we use to calculate the interest. It isn't a uniform rate throughout the whole period.
It's supposed to be the prime rate, right? I think that's what it says in the tariff.
Actually, it's a little bit higher. Unfortunately, FERC's rate is a little bit different than the prime rate. Like right now, it was, I think it's at 5%.
Okay. I'll go look at my the document I found, but we can talk about that offline.
At this time, there are no further questions in the queue.
Thanks, Rita. Hey, Megan, this is Jimmy. Since folks don't have the slides projected, could you just let folks know as you're changing slides? Thanks.
Sure. Moving on to slide 6, we have provided a sample file, like a bill determinant with the PTB comments that you will be receiving for the historical initial. And it highlights the comments that we just discussed. And finally, any supporting information. If a participant would like to request I'm on slide 7, sorry. If a participant would like to request a copy of the supporting data, they should submit a formal request to the ISO through the data request procedure. The data request will be limited to the participant supporting data that was provided with June 24, 2014 resettlement, plus any Amendment 60 MLC interest calculation, startup interest calculation, and relevant RCSP interest calculations. To summarize, on slide 8, ISO will publish in a historical initial settlement statement on March 31st. The trade date used will be March 1st, 2009. We will be using historical PTB charge codes H299 and H399. An invoice will also be posted the same day on March 31st. The invoice due date will be April 6, 2020, and a settlement user group notification will be sent out when the statements and invoices are published and available. This concludes my presentation, so it's open for questions.
And we do have questions, so I'll move to the first. Your lines are muted, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Alishan Mansourian from Southern California Edison. So I think the first question I have is is any of these publications through these pass-through bills, would it be open for regular disputing procedures from the CAISO with the typical dispute timelines, or are these treated differently?
Go ahead. I was talking to myself, sorry. This should be open to the regular dispute process.
Okay, great, thank you.
Moving to the next in the queue. Your lines are muted, please go ahead.
Yes, hello, this is Brian Sprague from Western Area Power. Can you hear me? Hello?
We can see you.
Okay, thank you. I'm having trouble seeing the slide deck that you're showing here on my setup, but are you saying that there will be a billing determinant file available to us with the original amounts that were back on the disks that were sent out several years ago? Will we have access to... again, the original amount, and then we can kind of figure out the interest like you've mentioned.
Hi, this is James Lynn. In the PTB comment field, we're including the amount that was distributed on June 24, 2014, for Amendment 60 MLCC. So yeah, you will be able to tie that out to the supporting data. Just make sure that when you are looking at the supporting data, there was a lot of things that were distributed on the that particular resettlement. Look at reference ID where it says A60 and then filter by the minimum low cost. We will be doing this again for the startup costs associated with Amendment 60. It does not, this whole resum or interest does not apply to SUFEF or emissions.
Right, right. Okay, thank you. So you'll be sending that to us, or we need to request that from you?
That information is in that file. But if you want details of the supporting data, we would I need an official request so that we can make copies of it in order to provide it to you. And
okay.
There is
and
a
that request?
There is a process for that request.
And what is that process? Is it an email to a person, or what? How does that work?
Please contact your client representative and we'll walk you through it. This is Diana, by the thing
Hi,
that I wanted to clarify, So the data that James is referring to, and James, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the original CD that was mailed out in 2014. So if you have that data, then you have the data necessary.
That is correct.
Yes, that's just lots happened since then and now, and things have changed. I think I'd like to make a request for that data. So maybe I'll talk to you, Diana, maybe offline about it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to the next in the queue. Your lines are muted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Bonnie Blair representing the six cities. I gather we can, or folks who want the supporting data can contact their customer rep, but it would be helpful if you would sort of post or publish in some way how you want that request to be framed, because otherwise you may be inundated with people wanting the supporting data. I echo the last caller's concern about being able to dig up the CD that was sent in 2014, especially since lots of us don't have access to our offices at the moment. I think it would be easier for you all if you were to post, through some separate notice, or send it to the SCs that are affected by these invoices, the process for submitting that data request and what specific information has to be included in the request. Thanks.
Bonnie, what I would suggest, this is Diana Adesani, is just have the scheduling coordinator submit a city request requesting the Amendment 60 supporting data, and we will fulfill it on our end. As long as it, that's all you really need to ask for, and it needs to come through the scheduling coordinator.
Okay. So a CD, that's CIDI, right?
Yes.
And Amendment 60 supporting data, that's what we should ask for?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Moving to our next question. Your lines are muted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Caroline with ACES. The invoice, is that going to be a separate invoice, or will it be embedded in the market invoice that's going to come out the same day?
It will be a separate invoice, and March 31st is a Tuesday, so market invoices come out on Wednesday, so there will be a day.
I know, but they'll both have the same posting date, that's the thing. So I just wanted to make sure that it was going to be an actual separate invoice. Thank you.
Okay.
Moving to the next question, your lines are muted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Alishan Mansuran again from Southern California Edison. I'm also reiterating the comments from a couple of times ago here. I think we're all going to need to request that data. Mainly because I think most of us don't have CD players anymore, so we might need the data digitally somehow. But the question that I had was regarding EAL, so estimated accuracy liability. Will this invoice impact EAL just like any of the other invoices do as well?
Hi, this is Heather Kelly. You know what? That's a good question. We will talk to our credit team, and we will have an answer for that, and we'll update our slides and repost them.
Okay, great. Thank you, Heather.
Moving to our next question. Your lines are muted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Jose Vargas with Cedar Riverside. And my question is, if we had the original data and I've been trying to match your interest that you have calculated for Riverside, but I wasn't able to, what charges do I need to exclude from the original data? Can you be more specific as to which one?
Yeah, this is James Lynn. So as you're looking through the original supporting data, there's one column that's called reference ID. You'll need to sort by A60. That will bring you down to a smaller grouping. And then within the comment field, do a search for MLCC.
Comment field, okay. And you said the A60 is under reference ID?
Yeah, reference type or reference ID. Is it reference type or reference ID?
I think it's reference ID. Okay, and then just search by MLCC or MLC. Okay?
Yep.
Excellent.
MLC, yeah. And then when we do the startup, you'll do the same procedure, just looking for startup.
A startup, MLC and a startup, okay? And do I need to exclude also every single dispute?
That should be already embedded in there.
Okay. Thank you.
Lee, I just wanted to add more comment. This is Diana Edisani. I wanted to add one more comment to the question that Bonnie raised about how to request for the data. And I said submitted through Citi. Please add to the request which SCID you're requesting the data for. And some scheduling coordinators have more than one SCID. Thank you.
Moving to the next in the queue. Your lines are muted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Van Vactor with SCE again. Going back to the interest table that you linked to FERC, did you guys use the daily or the monthly rate? Because it's a quarterly rate, so they divide it by.
I took the quarterly rate and I converted it into a daily rate in order to apply the interest correctly.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
I only applied that particular interest for that period.
Right, so it's only for each day.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Moving to the next in the queue. Your lines are muted. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is John Gammy with Williams. We haven't been a participant in the market since 2007, and we're wondering how we could request our data.
This is Diana Edisani. We emailed the contact that we had. If they didn't get to you, please contact me directly. My email address, my email address is D Edisani, D A. TTISANI@Kaiso.com. Or you can contact our customer service group and reach me. The customer service number is 916-608-7320. I can send you the information.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to our next question. Your lines are muted. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. This is Matt Richardson over at SDG&E. I just wanted to clarify that we're being billed currently for the MLC portion, and then we're going to get a separate bill for startup costs. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thanks.
At this time, there are no further questions in the queue.
Okay. Yes. So that's all I had for my slide deck.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Meghna. Going to give one last chance for any last questions before we end today's session as we're approaching the end of the call. As a reminder, folks, please push #2. We'll watch out for any folks that come in the queue. And as that is happening, just a reminder, this call was recorded, so you can please look for the recording file to be posted onto the Miscellaneous Stakeholder Meetings page, which you can access by going to our website, by hovering over the Stay Informed tab, and then clicking on the Meetings and Events link. And then you'll see the Miscellaneous Stakeholders Meetings page on the left, and that's where everything is posted for this meeting. And as a reminder, the recording will be up, we hope, tomorrow, since it's a short call. So, and then I guess, Rita, is there any further callers in the queue?
We have no further questions in the queue.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Rita. Thanks, Diana and Meghna, and, of course, all my CAISO colleagues, and, of course, all the participants who joined us today. Please have a great rest of your day, folks.
That concludes our conference. Thank you for using AT&T Event Conferencing Enhanced. Now this